far away from his home. This man was rather wealthy, and he had three servants in his household. And since he did not want his work to cease while he was gone, he called his servants together and entrusted to each one a portion of his own personal property, which just so happened to be money. So he gave different amounts of money according to each servant's ability. To servant number one, he gave $5,000. To servant number two, he gave $2,000. And to servant number three, he gave $1,000. Then he left. Immediately, servant number one goes to work. And by the time his master came back, he had doubled the money. He had five, he finished with 10. Servant number two did the same. He went to work and he too doubled his master's money to 4,000. Servant number three was a different story. He put his $1,000 in a hole in the ground and he left it there. In other words, he did nothing. So, of course, the master of the house returns and he brings the servants together. Servant number one comes up and says, "Sir, I have doubled your money." Now, the master, of course, was rather excited about this. And so he says, "Wonderful. You've been faithful and trustworthy with a little bit. Now I will give you more." And when that servant heard that word, he too got excited because he liked more. But more than that, the master said, "Come now, enter into my joy. Let's hang out together." Servant number two comes up to his master and in essence says the same thing. "Master, I too have doubled your money. You entrusted me with 2,000 and now I've got 4,000. The master says, "Wonderful. You've been faithful with a little. Now I will give you much. Why don't you come and hang out too? Enter into my joy." Well, servant number three once again was a different story. He had some guts. You have to admit that about servant number three. Whatever he was or wasn't, he had guts. He says to his master, the big boss man, "You are a harsh man, and you get things that you didn't work for." It's a weird line that you'd say to your boss. He said it anyway. And so he goes on and says, "I was afraid of you. I hid the $1,000 in a hole. Here it is." The master, of course, was rather upset. He says, "You are a wicked and lazy servant." "So I'm harsh and lazy, huh? These are excuses. You should know me better than that, too. And at the very least, you could have put my money in the bank so I could get at least a little bit of interest." So the master took the $1,000 from servant number three and gave it to the one with 10,000. He now has 11,000. He then says, "Throw this good-for-nothing servant into outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth." And basically what that meant was, kick him out of my presence. We're going to have a party. He's going to be outside where there is no party, where there are no lights. And keep in mind, in those days, especially in the biblical days, there was no electricity. So it was dark. If you're not let into the party, you're not in the light. So kick him out, I'm done with him. The story is found in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. You've probably heard it before. We call it the parable of the talents. I had a little bit of fun with the money. Obviously, they did not have American dollar bills back then, but it works. We have been in, for a number of weeks now on Wednesday evenings, a Bible study series on the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And as we've seen in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit has many different characteristics, nine characteristics specifically, that the Apostle Paul shares. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and open there again tonight. We'll start there. I think we start just about every Bible study here on the fruit of the Spirit. It's a good beginning point since this is the fruit of the Spirit. So here's what it says, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance," or commonly known as patience, "kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." It's a powerful statement. that last statement. Against such things there is no law. What Paul means here is this. If you are consistently led by the Spirit, and if you are walking in the fruit of the Spirit, there's no charge that God could ever bring against you, because you will keep the law perfectly. Isn't that really what Jesus said in the first place? What are the two greatest commandments? To love the Lord your God with all of your mind, heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself. If you do those things, you'll be good and you will uphold the law. The same kind of thought is happening here. There is no law against these things because this is God. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Very powerful thought. Today, we're going to take a look specifically at the fruit of faithfulness. And that's why I share this parable of the talents, because it really is a parable about faithfulness. The faithfulness, or lack thereof, of the master's servants. In this parable that Jesus told, the master, of course, represents who? Anybody. That's right. Even more specifically, I would think God the Father. Of course, that's splitting hairs since they're one. But the master is God. The servants, of course, represent you and me, his children. And there's two truths, there may be more, but two big ones that jump out at us from the parable of the talents. And the first one is this: we are to be faithful in what God gives us to do, not what we want to do. Can I say that again? I don't like it, but it's worth mentioning because it's true. He calls us to be faithful in what God gives us to do, not what we want to do. I think I got Matthew 25, verse 14. Did I put that in there? Yes, I did. Thank you, Lord. Oh, it just went away. There it is. Did you do that on purpose? You didn't. I wouldn't put it past you, though. Here it is. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. When I think of faithfulness, I think of someone who is faithful and trustworthy, someone who keeps his or her promises, someone who is faithful in their actions, in their beliefs, someone who is faithful to their families, to their spouses, to their jobs. Jesus kind of spoke about this in a little bit of a different context when he said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Again, the context is a bit different than this parable, but the principle is the same. In essence, Jesus is saying, if you make a commitment, keep it. If you say you're going to do it, then go ahead and do it. This is faithfulness. But you know, something jumps out at me a little bit here. Radical Islamic terrorists are faithful. They are extremely faithful, specifically to their cause. You could have a father who provides for his family, but is not faithful to the Lord, not faithful to his wife. He's faithful in some aspects, but not in all. The reason I share these two quick illustrations is there is more to the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit than just keeping commitments, letting your yes be yes and your no be no. You see, terrorists do that, and so do faithless fathers in certain aspects of their lives. If we are truly, though, walking in the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit, then we will be faithful not to what we want, but to what the Lord wants, what He calls us to, how He guides us, how He commands us to live. This is where verse 14 and the master's money comes into play. You see, making money was the master's will for his servants, right? I mean, there's no argument there. This was his will for their lives while he was gone on their trip. And so making money in this parable represents the will of the Lord, what is important to him, what he desires, these kinds of things. The truth is we can be faithful to many things, but the Holy Spirit is faithful to carrying out God's will. you see. That's why you cannot say that the Islamic terrorist is walking by the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit. First of all, he or she does not know Jesus. Secondly, I don't think the Holy Spirit would wage jihad against anybody, right? So faithfulness is understood in different ways. The faithfulness of the Holy Spirit, though, carries out the Lord's will. And when you look back at the parable of the talents, the first two servants were faithful to do that. They carried out their master's will. The third servant was faithful to what he thought was right, and he got kicked out of the party. He got kicked out of the presence of the master where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Think about this quite literally. Again, I kind of spoke to it a little bit just a moment ago, but back in those days, the light in the evening time was in the house where the people were, having fun, enjoying each other's company. If you were left outside, you were literally left out in the darkness unless you had some kind of light, a torch, or whatever you might carry in those days. I don't know. The weeping and the gnashing of teeth simply meant you're upset. I'm not happy that I'm not at the party. Have you ever been invited to the party? You're happy. Have you ever not been invited to the party? Now you're not happy, and you're weeping, and you're gnashing your teeth. Gnashing literally means gnashing your teeth. And so the third servant was faithful, but he was faithful to do what he wanted to do, not what his master wanted to do. So here's the thing. If we want to walk and live by the Holy Spirit, and if we want the fruit of faithfulness to be evident in our lives, then we need to live like the first two servants and kind of like Jesus say, not my will be done, but your will be done. You see the difference? I think it's an important aspect, something that sometimes we can forget. God is calling us to be faithful to him and to his calling on our lives, to his word. And don't forget this. God entrusts us with what he equips us to handle. Now, I'm getting a little bit more specific here. Obviously, generally speaking, as Christians, God is calling us to obey and submit to the Word of God. Are we all on the same page there? Right? So, William may have a different gifting or talent than me, but we're both called to obey the Word. And it's the same for each of us. But God does get specific. He'll give William a different gift or talent than he's given me. And the same with Manny. And the same with Wendy, and the same with Kelsey. He gives different gifts, he gives different talents to different people, but he equips us to handle what he is giving us. So if he is giving us this gift, if he is giving us a talent, then you better believe that the gift and the talent is from him. And because of that, we'll be able to carry out what he's calling us to do, not to mention his Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit is with us. So even if he's calling us to do something that isn't always easy, has the Lord ever called you to do something that isn't always easy? Yeah, it's not always easy, is it? No, it's not. But the Lord is calling us to do it, whether it's forgiving someone who hurt us, witnessing to somebody that maybe doesn't like us, stepping out of our comfort zones, giving when maybe we feel like we can't give, serving when maybe we feel like we can't serve, whatever it might be. Number one, be faithful to what the master is calling you to. Number two, realize that he's going to strengthen you to carry out what he's calling you to do in the first place. Don't think of God as someone who gives you this task and then kind of lets you fly by the seat of your pants. That's not how he works. He is with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He will strengthen us by his very grace. He will strengthen us by the very power and presence of the Holy Spirit. That's comforting. To me, it speaks of the fact that I'm never alone. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't times when I look at whatever it is I have to do and I want to go sit in the corner, play tiddlywinks or something. Anybody ever play Tiddlywinks? I've never played it. It's an old saying my parents used to say. I'm not even so sure I know what it is. I'm not that old. That's what came to mind, and whatever. Either way, we don't have a reason to fear. And we don't have a reason to fear because he's with us. So let's trust him. Let's be faithful to him and to his will, to his word, to serving others, our families, our spouses, these kinds of things. And he's with us every step of the way. I would throw this out as something to consider. I don't know if a congregation, and I'm speaking of a local congregation right now, like Emmanuel Assembly of God or any local congregation, can actually grow unless we are faithful to God's call on our lives as individuals within that congregation and as a congregation as a whole. And when I say grow, I do mean numerically, souls coming into the kingdom, but I also mean growing inwardly in our maturity as Christians in Jesus. I don't know as if we can really do that unless we step out in faith and say, I'm going to do what you're calling me to do. I'm going to be faithful. Something to think about, because God has, he's got a plan for us. He really does. And you know, we're in the midst of this refurb now. I'm hoping that by the end of this week, we'll have the time scheduled where we're actually going to rip up the carpet in the foyer, fix the cracks that are in there and lay the new floor, do the painting, you know, do the whole thing. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping by the end of this week, hopefully early next week, we'll have that scheduled. And a refurb is a big deal. It is. I'm hoping that, that will be done before the Easter celebration, and I'll talk more about that in the coming weeks ahead. But I'm hoping that the whole light system will be refurbed by that time as well. That'd be pretty cool. But at the end of the day, refurbs are nice. You want to have a building that's in good shape, and you want to have a building that sort of fits the culture in which you live in. What I mean by that is, you know, it's a place where people would feel comfortable in coming. You want that, but man, that doesn't compare to carrying out God's call in our lives when it comes to serving him and other people. God has always been about people. Whether you're meeting in an old Jewish synagogue, you're going to the Temple of Jerusalem back in AD 65 as Christians, or you're meeting in the catacombs, or you're living in communist China and you have to meet in a cave at 3 a.m. in the morning, or you meet in a great building like this at Emmanuel Assembly of God, his heart's always been people. And he's calling his people to faithfulness. May the Lord lead us that way. And you know, it's funny because the most obvious way of looking at it too, and I kind of missed it, you know, I talk about how God is with us, right? His grace will strengthen us, the power of the Spirit, these kinds of things. The Holy Spirit's fruit is faithfulness. So wherever the Holy Spirit is, his faithfulness is with him, which means faithfulness lives in you. You may not always live it out, but it's there. And so I think the trick is to allow the Holy Spirit to literally live his life through us. Cultivate such a relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that he's living. What did Paul say in Galatians 2, verse 20? He says, "For I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." What that means is, that's not like some kind of esoteric spiritual thing. That's a literal thing. I'm dead. I'm dead to myself. And Jesus is now living through me. The Spirit is now living through me. That's what it is. And it's right there. It's pretty good. That's why we pay these guys the big bucks. And they're smiling back there saying, "I ain't never seen a cent from you." That's fine. See Larry? He's right there. He's got a couple bucks for you. Here's an interesting thought too, because this idea of being crucified with Christ, I no longer live, Christ lives in me. Realizing that day to day is a process. You know, there are times that we're still going to fall short of what God wants for us, and then there are times we're going to nail it. So it's a process of growth. So don't get too down. Sometimes you read a scripture like this, you're like, "Oh man, there's still too much of me living." Ever been there? It's too much of me. That's okay. God is with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Rely on his grace. But realize that if we're going to live faithfully, it's the Spirit in us. And we need to allow the Spirit to live in and through us. So that's the first part of this. We are to be faithful in what God gives us to do, not what we want to do. Secondly, and this is pretty cool, our faithfulness to God's will helps to determine our future. Take a look again at what the Lord does for the first two servants, what the master does for the first two servants. Matthew 25, verses 21 and 23. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And then the man with two bags of gold also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I have gained two more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Look at this. These are the two servants who are doing their master's will. They were faithful and they were rewarded because of their faithfulness. It's interesting to see what they were rewarded with. More influence, more power, more responsibility, but ultimately with the very joy of their master. Now, be careful here. Your salvation is not dependent upon your good works. That is not what Jesus is teaching here in Matthew. Your salvation is dependent upon only one thing, and that is his grace, accepted by faith. That's it. So be careful that you don't read these scriptures and say, "Oh no, my faithfulness to do good gets me to heaven." That's not necessarily true. I just read something on Facebook, I think, today, a quote, or at least a variation of a quote that I've heard a few times, and that was something along the lines of, "Hell will be littered with good people." You know, there are a lot of what we would describe as good people, but goodness doesn't get you to heaven because no one's good enough. Only the grace of God through the death and resurrection of Jesus when accepted by faith. But these servants were blessed with more influence, more power, if you will, more responsibility, more wealth, and they were blessed with the very joy of their master. And so when we are faithful, God will give us more, and he will bless us with the very same joy he has, both in heaven, sure, but also, I believe, on earth. Think of it this way. I am a firm believer in the fact that you are living eternal life right now. Now, unless Jesus comes back first, you will die. None of us get out of this alive. But you will not then go to judgment, what the Bible may very well call the second death. You don't go there. You go from life to life because of the very grace of God. So in essence, you are living eternal life right now. Yes, you'll be in his presence directly someday, but you're in his presence now because you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So don't just think, "Oh, these rewards are something I'm going to find in heaven." Yes, there will be rewards in heaven, but this is something that you can enjoy on earth as well. The third servant, take a look at him again. We'll start in verse 28, Matthew 25. "So take the bag of gold from him," that is the third servant, "and give it to the one who has 10 bags. Do we have verse 30? "And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, a lot of times people take this as a description of being thrown into hell. It could be. It could just be that, you know, he's kicking him out the house. The servant may have a chance to repent and come back in the house. Either way, the servant was not faithful with what the master gave him. The result, well, he was rebuked in a very bad way, and he lost everything. He lost $1,000, or the bag of gold, or the talent. He also lost the more that he could have had if he had done something with it. He's kicked out to darkness. He's weeping now, gnashing his teeth. Keep in mind, parables are stories that everyone would understand. And Jesus talked in a lot of parables, right? The parable of the sower, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the prodigal son. What is darkness? What is weeping and gnashing of teeth? Again, inside's the party. He's outside. No joy, no happiness, no presence either, a place where we would commonly call hell. But again, it can be something that you find on earth. Just that sense of loss because I wasn't faithful to what the Lord was calling me to do. Either way, the point here is the fact that he was faithless affected his future. Either his entire future or his near future. Very interesting stuff. God is calling us not to live like the third servant. He's calling us to live like the first two. He's calling us to be faithful. And again, we can do it because the Spirit lives in us. Faithfulness of the Spirit, right there within you. And we will accomplish the task. And what's nice is when we are faithful, we're kind of living like Jesus, aren't we? Jesus was faithful. Yeah, he was faithful to the task that was at hand. He carried it out all the way to the end. And as we are faithful by the power and the leading of the Spirit, we will be more and more like Christ. So, does anybody have any testimonies of faithfulness in action? Either in your own life where you saw, hey, the Lord was living through me, or somebody else's life that really impacted you. Anyway, this is your chance. I'll even give you the microphone so everybody can hear you. Now, not everybody jump up at once. Okay, you get the mic because this is going on tape, so make sure it's nice. No, you got a minute and a half.
You're tough on me. Remember last week, Wednesday, I shared with you that I witnessed to one of my coworkers. Well, he's actually he's my supervisor. And he's the guy that believes in you die, come back, you work your way up to the seven heavens. And I was sharing about the salvation of Jesus through the cross, the blood. And that was last week. Okay. Today I go to work and he finally comes in and he says, I got to go to the office and get something. He comes back and he hands me this here. It's a Homer patch. When you get your third one, which this is the third one, you get $50 extra for customer service. Now, this is not because of what I do. Yes, I treat customers polite and I talk to them and everything, but I see this as God's faithfulness. Because when you witness to your boss in a secular society, they don't have to do this. They can say, no, no. But God says, yes, yes.
Praise the Lord. Any other testimonies? It's staying in the family right now. You can't let them outdo you the whole time. You get about 10 minutes.
Okay. Well, that's not going to happen. No. Oh, boy. Last week, I went and had surgery on this side of my face, my jaw. And the doctor said it. He doesn't know how well it's going to heal or how well the bone's going to take and whether it's going to reject anything he did. I said, okay, so I just prayed. I went today. It does hurt still, but not nowhere near as bad. And he said he cannot believe how fast it's healing. I said, I can. I prayed. And he's Jewish, my dentist. So every now and then I say something to him and he says, yeah, okay, you know. He says, the last time I was there, he says, I don't really know him. I said, well, that doesn't matter. He knows you and everything about you. I said, so you better be careful with me because I'm his daughter. You know, and he started laughing. He said, okay, you know. But I'm a little nervous, but I know God's going to help me through it. And it's just been one thing after the other. First this leg, then this leg, and this leg is still acting up. And then my eyes, then my face, then my eyes, then my leg again. So I told my husband I'll be Wonder Woman by the time all these surgeries are done. Right?
Thank you. Thank you. And don't forget, the Lord is faithful to us. Right? You pray and he's answering prayer. Right there. That's awesome. Hesha, come on up front. You're on the hot seat. The hot seat.
A couple of weeks ago, we had a problem with the management in our work. Like it's from the last year We always like, you know, they always trying to cut our times, even our breaks, our lunch times and stuff. They trying to, they sometime the break room or the lunch room is like four minutes away from the place we work. So they want to add this time to our lunch time or our break time, and you know, and we stand, like a couple of us stand and we say, no, we cannot accept this because this is too much, because we work in all this time and you guys, like break time is 15 minutes and I'm gonna walk 4 minutes to go, 4 minutes to go back. So I'm just sitting 7 minutes, so it's not 15 minutes. So we're talking with them and stuff, and we can't face, like we talk with the general manager, you know, this is, we always talk, like, you know, I always talk to them and I tell them, like, you know, the forceful way is no good. Just like try to be friendly, because this is how, like, you know, you can like, you know, you can gain our trust, but by force you cannot gain our trust. And I was, you know, trying to talk to them a couple times. We like kind of like talk, and you know, and till the last time, like the general manager came to us in the break room. This was like couple weeks ago, and he challenged us to leave at the time he wanted us to leave. And I felt the Lord, like, you know, like that would, like, I felt like Moses, when Moses, like the Lord told him, just wait and see. Like, you know, I didn't face the guy, I didn't face the general manager, but I went out as he said, and I said, like, I need to talk to him again. This was like the fifth time or something. So when I was standing, I said, Lord, if he come back this way, I'm gonna talk to him. Because I felt like, you know, we need to do something, because like they forcing everything. So when I'm waiting, his boss came. This is like the top in this place. So I came and I talked to her. I told her, like, Kim, this is what's going on with us and stuff. And I, you know, we're trying to get our breaks, but it sounds like we always pushed to, you know, not to take our breaks and stuff. And you know, and the second day, we get our breaks at a time, and we get our lunch at a time, and they give us 3 minutes, and because we almost like we were almost close the time at the break time, we, you know, they said, like, okay, this is paid, so we can do whatever we want. The second one, they say, okay, like, you know, it's 30 minutes, but after this talk, because God say watch, because I didn't face him like the last time. He said, just like, you know, just talk to her and see what is going to happen. And because I talked to her, and God, like, you know, just come into situation, the whole situation changed for the whole inbound. Like, I'm working inbound, and we take our time, and you know that the management didn't give us any trouble anymore, because like God was faithful in this situation, really, like, you know.
Very nice. Thank you. So again, the faithfulness of the Lord, but also hearing His voice. Right, and speaking when the Lord asked you to speak, it's good stuff. Remember, we want to be faithful to what He's calling us to do. We don't want to lag behind, but we don't want to jump ahead. And so it's important to hear the voice of the Lord and to learn to know and distinguish what the voice of the Lord is. Keep in mind the main way, and we all know this, it's just a reminder, the main way the Lord speaks to us is through the Word. Right? So know the Word. Know the Word better. Spend that time with Jesus. We've talked about it a lot. What's our mission statement? It was up there before, knowing Christ, loving people. It starts with knowing Jesus, going deeper with Him, developing that relationship with Him, growing in grace and the knowledge of Christ, knowing Him better, like Paul says in Ephesians 1:17. That's where it begins. And the more that you spend time with Him and seeking His face, the more you'll be able to hear that voice, and you'll be able to distinguish that. And that's good stuff. That really is. Thank you for sharing. Go ahead. She was born to fly.
We just finished, when Carol was here, we just finished the book. It was the prayer circle. And it really and truly works. Another lady and I, we live on the third floor. We started walking the halls and going up and down the stairs, walking the halls, just praying. Not even talking, just praying. Monday night, we had two new people in our Bible study. So we're up to 17 people now on our Bible study on Monday nights. And it's prayer. If you can't, you have to pray. There is nothing better. And that's what he tells us to do.
Yeah, being faithful to prayer, by the way, a shameless plug for our life groups. If you're not a part of one, join one. There you go. That was my shameless plug. It's a great story. Faithful to prayer. And look at what God's doing already. Isn't that cool? And are these unchurched people? Yeah. A lot of them are unchurched. Yes. I think it's great. So not only is it a typical like life group, it's evangelistic. It's a wonderful thing. Any other testimonies? I got a testimony. I remember when I was a young guy, I had just graduated college, and I went into a period where I was having some severe anxiety attacks. And in the midst of that, I was questioning a lot of things. You know, does God love me anymore? Did I have my salvation? Did I lose my salvation? I mean, just some weird things. Probably lasted 4 to 5 months. And it was terrible. At the same time, I joined a Promise Keepers small group of men. And I went once in December, and it was snowing, and so I didn't get to go a whole lot because there was a lot of snow that year, if I remember correctly. Then I went again, I think in January, and we're all sitting there. And I'm just blown away by this anxiety. I really am. And so the leader opened it up. Is there anything we could pray for or whatever? And there was probably 7 or 8 of us there, and I was by far the youngest. And so I just basically said, listen, I don't know who I am, I don't know what I'm doing, and I feel like I'm probably going to die. So do something about this. This is kind of what I was saying to these guys. So I shared my heart. We talked for about an hour, and at the very end, the leader of the group says, and now he didn't check this with anybody. He just said it. He says, Jason, pray about it, but pick one guy from this group, any guy. Keep in mind, they're all much older than me for the most part. And that guy that you pick will meet with you once a week. And I said, okay. So I went home, and it came to two gentlemen, and I prayed over it, and it came into my heart to go with the actual leader of the group, whose name was Armin. And I said to him the next week, or I gave him a call that week, I said, I just felt like it was you. And so I called him up, and we started meeting every week on the third floor of his old Victorian home in Mount Pocono. His wife would make cookies for me. Little did I know that his kids would later be in my youth ministry, which is kind of funny. But he was faithful to disciple a young guy like me. And I've often said that if it wasn't for him stepping in, I don't know where I'd be now in my faith with Jesus. I'm not even so sure I'd be walking with Jesus. I would like to think that after that span of my life went away, I'd come back to normal again, but I don't know. And so I thank God for the faithfulness of a man of God who poured his life into me. By the way, if I could piggyback on that, God is looking for us to make disciples. That's why life groups, I think, are so important. I think that's why Sunday school classes are so important, especially when you're going deeper than just the text of a Sunday school, but you're really loving on each other. Same in a life group. It can become just a Bible study, but boy, it's a whole lot more if you're loving on each other and you're going deeper and you're making disciples. Because the church needs disciples. And I've often thought that I'd rather have a church of 50 people who really love Christ and are going after him together than a church of 2,000 that's just kind of hanging out. So I thank God for the faithfulness of one man named Armin, who the Lord used to change the course of my life, which is cool. This is faithfulness. This is the working of the Holy Spirit in and through us. This is the fruit of the Spirit. And my hope and prayer is that as we continue to walk with him, as we continue to walk by the Spirit, more and more of the fruit will flow in and through us. I really like that visual. It's not just being filled, but it's flowing. Because faithfulness shows itself. Love shows itself. Joy and peace, patience, it all shows itself. Matter of fact, I think Paul says something along the lines of how in a prayer of his, he says he's praying that we would superabound in love. And the idea there is that you're kind of being filled up like a glass of water. And to superabound means the water comes to the top and then just overflows on everybody else and everything else. I got five kids. The water flows all over the table half the time, right? That's what God is calling us to. It's not just that we'd be filled with love, but that love would literally spill out over everybody that we meet. So may the Lord raise us up as faithful. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand and pray. I'm done a little early today. If you have kids, let them hang out. You guys can hang out and have just a time of fellowship. Those kinds of things. Lord, I thank you for the testimonies here tonight. I thank you for faithfulness in our lives. We've seen it in action in others around us, those who have discipled us, maybe those who have pastored us, those who have taught us, parents and grandparents. We thank you for their faithfulness. And Lord, we thank you for the times where you've lived your faithfulness through us, speaking to someone who doesn't know you, hearing your voice and acting upon it, whatever it might be, being faithful to carry out your word. Lord, we pray for Emmanuel right now that we would be found faithful, like the first and the second servant. We pray it for our children right now. Youth meeting over with Pastor Josh and our children meet with Pastor Caleb and their leadership teams. Lord, we pray a blessing over our kids. Protect them from the evil one. Our grandkids as well. Lead them in the way everlasting that they would be faithful to you all the days of their life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Lord bless. We got to take an offering. I just saw Larry, and I felt it coming at me. So, Larry, come on up.